morning, if you'd turn with us into the book of Acts, chapter number 8. The book of Acts, chapter number 8. Man, I've had a time at church this morning. Appreciate that. I'm glad I can pastor a church where I can share my heart to the people. Not many men have that, but I'm glad I have that. You say, well, I don't like the way you do things. Well, I'm sorry you don't. I don't know no other way to do stuff, just the way I do it. God made me to be me, and I'm going to try to be the best I can be for Him till I can see it. Amen. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 26. The Bible said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold," and if you have a pen, underline this, "a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him. And when he got there, he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, Take your pen now. How can I accept some man should guide me? Some man should guide me. And he, watch this now, and he desired Philip. This is where the chariot's going to turn around. Oh, I'm giving you the title of my message. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the Scripture that he read was this: He is led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb like dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, get your pen ready, and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who's he talking about here? I've been a-reading, and I'm just a-wondering, who's he talking about? Of himself? Here it is, underline it. Or some other man. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture. Preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to certain water. The eunuch said, Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart. Matter of fact, if you've got an NIV Bible, this verse ain't even in it. That's why I throw it down in the trash can. Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart. Now, if he had left out this key verse, that would have been heresy. Because we know baptism don't save nobody. Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, we love you today. I want to thank you for this time together, Lord. I want to thank you for the atmosphere of liberty that we have in this place today. Lord, there's many people here today. There's many people that could have come many, many different places. But no doubt you have those here, God, that you won't hear this morning. For you are a God of divine providence, and we know that. I thank You there are no accidents in the family of God. But now, Lord, I'd ask You, let preaching be easy. I'm trying to follow You and mind You and obey You. Now I pray there'd be one here lost today. God, would You show them their condition? Would You show them, Lord, their need of this some other man? Would You help me to preach with clarity and unction and liberty today? Because I sure do need You. I'm a needy preacher, O Lord. I ask You to send the Spirit of God now. Help me in these feeble efforts I have today. Help us to be a blessing to You people. We'll be careful to honor You and thank You for everything that's accomplished at this place today. In Christ's name we pray and ask You, amen and amen. This morning, I'm interested in this thought. And He went on His way rejoicing in verse 39. Now you'll notice, first of all, there was a man in verse 27, and we see him simply as a sinner man. Turn me up, Brother Will, please. If you've underlined in your Bible a man, beside it you can write a sinner man. First of all, I want you to know that Jesus loves sinners. I'm glad that Jesus took it upon Himself to come to where we were. We have a mission-minded God. And God uses people. God's even used roosters. God's even used some donkeys. But God, forthright, many times uses His people. Now we find out that this man, he's a sinner man in verse 27. We notice, first of all, where he lodged. He lived in a desert. He lived in a dry place. The Bible said that he told Philip, go toward the south that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, that is desert. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, had the charge of all his treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, this man, a sinner man, look where he lodged. He lodged in the desert. It's a hot place. Boy, it's a hateful place. I'd hate to know that I was out there in the desert this morning, but I go back to a day and time when I was a lost man, undone without Christ, that I found myself in a bad place. You may be here today, and you thought everything was pretty green where you are, but you've turned around and things have got a little dry and a little distant. Maybe things have got a little hot and a little hard. And I sure am glad that God knows how to reach sinners in the desert. I sure am glad when I was minding my own business now in a bad place, He sent somebody to tell me what I needed to hear. Now this man, a sinner man, where he lodged. But then in verse 27, look how he lived. No doubt he was living the high life. He was in charge of all the queen's treasure. Man, he had a pretty good lifestyle. But he found himself coming up short in good living. Can I tell you that money cannot buy happiness this morning? Money cannot buy salvation. Money cannot buy joy. Matter of fact, people, they're spending money, dollar after dollar, in booze and in bags and in pills, trying to bring unto them joy. But honey, let me tell you, joy only comes in Jesus. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. man not only where that he lodged, but how he lived. You know, everybody thinks that they're having a great time when the bass boat was full of gas and the compartment full of the things of the world. I felt like I had all kind of friends. But I found out when I got saved that they was not my friend. You'll find out who your friends are when you hit the bottom. And I'm glad Jesus said He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, he had a pretty good living, but his living wasn't getting him satisfied. Maybe you're here today and you've got a real good living, but your living has just not made you satisfied. Well, can I tell you that God has put in every heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl a longing to know Him. I'm glad He's given every man, every girl, a measure of faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Grace is what God done for us on a cross. Faith is what He's given to you. So therefore, you must access this faith to get into His grace. And let me tell you, I don't care what the agnostics say. I don't care what the atheists say. Honey, let me tell you, I don't even care what the Buddhist camp say this morning, that there is joy unspeakable and full of glory in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I got saved. I've never met nobody that's ever told me, "Preacher, I wished I hadn't got saved." I'm glad I'm saved by God's good, amazing grace. So now this person seemed like that they had the world by the tail and everything was going good. But deep down inside that chariot, he was miserable. He was longing. He was, "Hey, can I ask you something, sir? Ma'am, could I ask you something? Are you tired of searching for something you're never going to find? How would you like to have this morning what's going to fix every issue in your life? How would you like to meet somebody that turned your chariot slam around this morning?" Boy, a sinner, a man. Now watch not only where he longed, not only how he lived, but did you notice how he left? Just like some of you last Sunday, just like some of you the last time you came to this church or the church you were in, he just left church lost. He went to Jerusalem to worship, and he returned and didn't know God. Boy, wouldn't that be something today if you walked into the atmosphere like this and still left lost? I don't understand some of you. I don't understand why that you would have insurance on your car or on your home, and yet those things can burn up just like this. And they're just material things, but you've got insurance on. I don't understand why you won't have a heavenly policy on your soul this morning. I don't understand. That is no logic. That is no reasoning. But boy, within this chariot, there this sinner began to look around maybe and got to thinking, you know, this life just ain't what it's cracked up to be. Some of you need to look where you're living and realize this life you're living is just not what it's cracked up to be. Boy, I bet he had all kind of friends around that chariot because they had nice things that was hooked to that chariot. But he found out, you know what? This just ain't what I thought it was. Has anybody ever run something and then when you caught it, you found out this not what you thought it was? Boy, we see a man, he's a sinner. We see where he lodged, and we see how he lived, and we see how he left. He just left church long. But let me tell you, I got good news for you today. I've got probably the best news that you've heard all week, what I'm fixing to say. You ready? you don't have to leave church lost this morning. Because Jesus loves you. Young person, Jesus died for you. Older person, Jesus died for you. Now watch this. Not only where he lodged, not only how he lived, not only how he left, but look where he was looking. He had opened up a copy of Isaiah. And just like our good God does, he got the reading in there and he got to reading about something. And about that time, here comes Philip. So it takes me to my second point. Not only do we see a man, a sinner, but now we see some man and we see a surrenderer. I'm glad he was surrendered to the cause of Christ. I wonder, could God trust you to surrender? I wonder, could God trust you to send you down to a place that's south with no other directions? I bet a lot of us will say, okay, give me the GPS coordinates and we'll go. He didn't say that. He just said, I want you to go toward the south. You know, I've noticed about walking with God, it's so much like a checkerboard game, and I don't belittle God when I say that. But I certainly want to tell you that so many times God in His familiarities does like a chess game or a board game. You see, when God moves, it's your turn. And you're not going to get no more light till you do what God's done told you to do. A lot of you sitting around waiting for more instructions, He's not going to give you more instructions till you take care of what He's done give you. And He said, I want you to go down south. And watch this. When He went that direction, the Spirit got to speaking to Him. I'm glad we got a God can talk to us by the Spirit. I'm glad the Spirit of God lives. And listen, I'm not charismatic. I'm a Christian. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I'm glad the Spirit of God lives in my heart and He talks to me. He walks with me. He nudges me. He tells me when I'm doing something wrong. Thank God I can't do what I used to do. Now I want to do it sometimes. Don't let no preacher say, if you're saved, you won't want to do them things. That's a lie. This old flesh will want to do them things. But boy, it's something inside there that says, don't you be doing none of that. Don't do that. Quit that. Well, none of that was going on when I was smoking that weed before I got saved. But I guarantee you now, boy, if I was to roll one, he'd kill me, amen. Boy, I'm glad he don't leave us alone, aren't you? Aren't you glad we're bought with a price? We're not our own, we're His. And so some of you, He's wanting you to launch out and get out and just do what He's told you to. Don't worry about the end of the story. He's got the end of the story handled. Just go the direction He's told you to go. And so there, not only do we see a man that is a sinner, we see some man that is surrendered. I'm glad I've run into some of them kind of men that are surrendered. Now, this is what he said. He ran thither in verse 30, got to the chariot, and this is all he said. Understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're looking at? Now, this some man has surrendered. Man, I'm glad, first of all, he was available. Thank God for some men and women that make themselves available. Number two, he was affectionate. You know what some preachers would have said? They'd have walked up, kicked the wheels of that chair and said, I wouldn't paint it them that color. Some of them said, well, cut your hair off. Some of them said, quit smoking them cigarettes. Quit saying them dirty words. And I believe in not doing all of that. But let me tell you, Jesus ain't never cleaned a fish till He caught it. He didn't elaborate on his chariot. He didn't talk about the way he looked or how he smelled. I doubt if he had dial soap in the middle of the desert. I doubt it. Some of you need to try it on sometime. You'd like it. And a little Colgate on your grill. Somebody say amen. But my word, he wasn't worried about the chariot. He wasn't worried about where he had been. He is worried about what was in the chariot. Can I tell you, sinner friend, Liberty Baptist Church and this preacher and the God of heaven's concerned about what's up in that chariot this morning. He said, you understand what you're reading? And he said, it ought to set our church on fire. How? Canna, lest some man would guide me. I was preaching this week in West Virginia, and some people got saved on Wednesday. And I noticed there was a young boy in the back side of the tent on the right hand of the corner. And I was preaching, I noticed God was really dealing with that individual in a big way. And man, he was inked up, that child. I mean, he was an ink whale. I mean, he had piercings. He was just a pitiful looking fella to look at. He has done probably in his mid-20s. And well, the tent meeting got over and I got to noticing we lined up, all those got saved. Man, we was just rejoicing. We was having a great time. Brother David, I looked over in the corner and there stood that boy by himself just looking at the ground. I walked over there, Brother Mike, and I said, I want to let you know that Jesus loves you, son. He died for you, and He cares about you. If you want to be saved, He'd save you tonight. You know what he said? He looked up at me, and he said, look back down. Well, I walked back off. Man, this place is going wild. I mean, 72-year-old us got saved. A man in his mid-60s got saved. I mean, people just come and fall in. It was just wonderful, old-time Baptist meeting. Well, I looked over there, and there he was. How can I lest some man should guide? I walked over there. He's still looking down. I got by him. I said, son, it's getting worse on you, ain't it? He said, yes, sir. I said, you won't be saved? He said, I sure do. I said, would you be willing to fall down right here and ask Jesus to save you? He said, I sure would. Now, this is going to tear some of y'all up. He had a big dip of tobacco in his lip. That'll blow some of y'all's doctrine out of the water. I didn't say get rid of that marks off your arms. And this is going to tear some of y'all up short enough. He had on knee-length shorts. I didn't say go home, put your clothes on, and dress right. That ain't what I said. I said, boy, Jesus loves you. Bam! Bam! Many come too, went to spitting his snuff out. Oh, the things God's let me see. Just wish y'all could see it. So you see, there's a man, a sinner man. You know, this is the thing about sinners. They think they all by themselves. There ain't nobody that's ever been saved that wasn't a sinner first. Just some sins are different than others. Some were adulterers. Some were murderers, thieves. Some did this and some did that. Aren't you glad that Jesus saves all sinners? A sinner is still a sinner. It ain't never been a good sinner die and go to heaven. but all sinners die and go to hell. Don't hear much on hell no more, do you? Matter of fact, it's become part of the English dialect. But it's been in the Bible a long time before folks got to misusing it. If you die without Christ in hell, you'll lift your eyes. It takes me to the third point. I sure am glad there's some men that are surrendered. When you see some men come through here preaching, that's all they do. You know what? You ought to tip their hat. Liberty Baptist Church needs to respect the men of God. The missionaries of God. I wonder if God could trust you to go south. Had something good waiting for him. Because I won't preach there. I've never preached it. But I'm going to tell you what. After this boy got saved, he had an experience with Jesus like he never had before. The Spirit called him away and he wasn't there no more. Now, y'all got light on that, let me know after service. Maybe it's light this morning. He is there, but he wasn't there. Number three. A man, a sinner. Some man, we see a surrendered man. But lastly, this is what he said. He said, understand what thou readest. He said, well, I'm having a little problem. Said, right here where he said, he was led as a lamb, as a sheep to the slaughter, but yet he opened not his mouth. By his stripes we are healed. He said, I want to know something. Is he talking about himself? Or some other man? He said, oh, he wasn't talking about himself. He said, matter of fact, if you'll turn over there left of where you're reading from Isaiah 53, you'll find Isaiah 6, that he's seen the Lord high and lifted, and he cried, oh, woe, woe, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. No, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about the God-man. You see, amen, there's a sinner man. Some man, there's a surrendered man. But here we see some other man, there's the Savior man. Glad he's in the saving business. You say, well, what kind of man is he? Well, I tell you, first of all, he's a reaching man. In Hebrews 7, verse number 24, of Hebrews 7 and verse 24. He's a reaching man. But this man, Jesus. Say Jesus for me. Jesus. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he's able also to save them. Watch this. To the uttermost. And I like what the old black preacher said. Yes, sir, boy. And not to the uttermost, but to the guttermost. That come unto God by Him. You see that? Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest came to us, who's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. He says that He can save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him. You don't bypass Jesus to get to heaven. You don't go to no Catholic priest and get to God. Boy, I'm glad He's a reaching man. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 3, He's a ransoming man. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 3. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 3. For this is good, acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. That word ransom's a price. He paid the price. I'm finishing this sermon now. I'm gently long-winded. I'm not today. I'm fixing to close. You better listen to me. Not only is He a reaching man, He can reach to the uttermost, but He's the ransoming man. He paid a price for all. You know what's an amazing thing about this Bible? Everybody under these 10 topics this morning, everybody under that tray ceiling, everybody in this building, if you die and go to hell in your sin, you went in spite of Jesus paying the price for you. He paid the price for all men. You say, well, you tell me something then, Pastor. How does a God of love send men to hell? He don't send them to hell. They send themselves to hell. Because He created hell for the devil and his angel. Young person, you die without Jesus, hell will be your home. Mom and Daddy, you die without this man, Jesus, hell will be your home. Sir, ma'am, don't care what your age is. If you die without Christ, hell will be your home. You better be glad somebody was interested in you. And that Jesus was so interested in you, He died for you. Because He is a reaching Jesus. He's a ransoming Jesus. But in Acts 1, He told His disciples, they watched Him go away. Those angels said, boys, why are you looking up into the heavens gazing? This same Jesus which is taken away from you shall so come in like manner as you see Him go. He's a returning. He's coming. Man, the stage is set. Anytime He's coming. Did y'all see yesterday in the papers, I think it was Arizona. Renee, was it Arizona where the man was locked up? Nevada, Arizona. The police come in and arrested him for having church in his home Bible reading this week. What about that? Y'all just going to look around and think, well, man, what? Let me ask you something. Why do you think what's going on? He said in the last days, perilous time. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming. You better be getting yourself ready because Jesus is coming. And how heaven finds you and how hell finds you is how it keeps you. Glad somebody loved me. Let me share if you come to instrument this morning. Brother David, I wish you'd lead me in an old song today. Wish you'd lead me in an old song of invitation. You know, there I got to thinking this week how God thought enough of me that He put somebody... You ever thought about Brother Driver? You, Brother Jake? Yeah, y'all men ever thought about how good God's been to us to put people in our life that would explain things to us? Now, God sent Philip expressly down there for that one man. You know why? That man was reading the gospel and he wanted more light. And I believe just the way our good God is, anybody that wants to know more about Him, He'll send somebody to explain Him to you. He loves you this morning. I want to ask, not the most important question, but I want to ask this question. And then the important one. Maybe you're here today. Are you surrendered? Could God use you to guide the way for somebody else? Maybe on your job, you don't even know it, God's got people sitting right there wanting you to guide them in home. You say, preacher, why has God put me in such a dark place at my job? Well, a little light goes a long way. Boy, I'm glad. Mom, I'm so glad God run His hand in my life with you. Where would I have been if I hadn't met Miss Renee? I'll be honest with you. God had it set up, Brother Tim. I'm going to let you run in, little old Baptist girl in Panama City Beach, Florida. You're going to leave everything you got. You're going to put in a pickup truck. You're going to move to Bowden, Georgia. And I'm going to save you back over after the pine thicket from the church that I'm going to build with you one day. You say, oh, that's accident. Oh, no, I'm not that weak. No, Elmer Cason, one Saturday morning, God said, go south. Go down there and see if he really understands. He looked at me. This is what he said, but Tim, you saved. I lied like the devil. I lied because he scared me to death. Just leave. Just leave. But the most glorious thing happened to me that's ever happened in my life. When he left, Brother Randall, God stayed. Now, here's the most important question. Sinner, don't you know these people love you? Don't you know that the God of heaven loves you enough that He's given you light? Now, let me ask you, will you react to that light? Are you going to spurn that light and just... There was a man sitting in the audience there in West Virginia Wednesday night. I noticed a lady done that. The man was real trouble, Brother Tim. She got up, must have been his daughter or sister, but she got up and she walked to him. Sitting back where Brother Felton is this morning. She walked up to that man. I seen him do this. She just turned around and walked back. He was so troubled. I went back out to service. I said, sir, you need to be saved? I sure do. I said, well, don't you want to be saved? He said, just couldn't answer me. Where is he at today? Where is he headed? He's at least 65. You that's been under the sound of this preacher preaching day in, day out, this preacher preaching day in, day out, these leadership, why won't you come to Jesus? You just going to take it so lightly, like, man, I've got all my... You may not. There's a boy, 30-something-year-old, walked out of here and had stroke this week. He didn't know that. We don't know that. But I can tell you what we do know. You look up here right now. Look right here. Everybody in this building, I'll tell you what you can know. Jesus loves you. And if you would come, He'd save you this morning. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, let me tell you, you simply come to Christ by faith. Let your heart turn to Him. Simply say a child's prayer, Lord, save me, a sinner. You know what He said? He was faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins. You can come, but you'll have to come yourself. You'll have to come. You listen to me. The Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning. Now, it's up to you what you need to do. You know you need to be saved. Why don't you quit living the lie and just get honest with God and say, God, I'm ready. He desired Philip that he'd come tell him about some other man. The Savior man. He loves you like nobody else has ever loved you. Won't you come? There'll be men come pray with. There'll be ladies come. Why don't you just turn loose with God and say, God, I've never been saved. I know a little bit about religion. God, I come to church. I'm doing pretty good, but I've never been saved, and I want to be saved. And now, God, I'm coming. I'm going to trust You by faith that You'd turn my chariot around this morning. Won't You come? He desired Philip. Come tell me about some other man. Stand with us all around the house this morning. We're going to sing.